United Nations Radio presents the UN Story. In this series of programs, United Nations Radio brings you a transcribed account of the work of the UN, a report of achievement in many fields, the UN Story. Today's story, Adventure in Iran.
It might have happened one night in the Arabian desert, the story you are going to hear. The characters involved?
My name is John. There aren't many boys from the States that can take a trip around the world, especially when they're 11, but I did.
I am a doctor from Iran on my way back to my peoples with knowledge to help them live a better, healthier life. I met the boy John on a plane that night flying across the desert.
And I am a nurse with the same mission, teaching my fellow countrymen the wonders of medical science.
An American boy of 11 on a mythical trip around the world, an Iranian doctor from the World Health Organization, and a Swiss nurse on her way to set up a mother and child welfare center in southern Iran. Three people thrown together, destined for adventure, because an airplane ran out of fuel in the land that supplies the rest of the world with oil. Let's move on stage. The plane is on its way to Tehran. It is due there in time for dinner. It's sunset, and the distant tawny hills take on a golden light. And the small boy is speaking to the tall, gentle-looking Iranian doctor. Naturally, he's talking of his favorite subject.
I always wanted a brother. I wrote Santa Claus about it when I was young, but he never did anything about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. I get along just fine.
It is quite unusual, you know, meeting an American boy on an Iranian plane, traveling alone.
Well, I'm meeting a friend of my mother's in Tehran.
I see.
Why don't you carry a black bag?
I don't understand.
Well, you said you were a doctor, and all the doctors I know carry black bags.
Oh, you mean to carry the instruments. Well, we here in this country do many things differently than you. For instance, you have seen those little brass balls on which verses from the Persian scriptures are engraved.
No, sir.
Many iron rings are hung on them. At the time of illness, the mullah, that is the holy man, comes and fills the bowl with water. An iron ring is dropped into it. A prayer is chanted, and the sick person is touched with the water. This is the way the sick used to be treated here, and in some cases still are. We doctors are trying to make our people believe that the vials we carry, the needles we use, can do more good. Prayer is our salvation, yet so is cleanliness and medical care.
Is that what you're going to do?
That is what I am trying to do now. Sometimes it is difficult. Even my own people do not agree with me. Look down there in the desert.
Oh, it's big, isn't it?
It is desolate country. Wandering tribesmen live there, always moving on, camping where it pleases them, caring for their herds.
Look, sir, we're going down.
Impossible. We're miles from Tehran.
But we are.
Well, John, hold on tightly. This may be a night filled with adventure for you and me.
The plane had plenty of room for an emergency landing in the sandy desert, unbroken except for a few rocky hills and the distant outline of snow-capped mountains. The pilot came toward the small group in the cabin. He looked at his passengers with melancholy eyes that perhaps had seen everything in the world and had not been pleased.
We spend the night here. Tomorrow we reach Tehran.
Bebakshid, but is it not unusual for this plane to rest in the desert overnight?
Perhaps. There is a leak in the fuel line. We have been losing gasoline for the last hour. Is it not better to land while there is still time?
In Persian or English, this is the language of common sense. Besides, it was good for the small party to stretch its legs and watch the rising moon in the distance. They made a camp for the night, using blankets for tents and pillows from the plain to shield them from the desert floor. When the moon was pointing 20 minutes to the North Star, the pilot rose and announced,
8 miles beyond the rise is a city, Shiraz. They will have horses there. I go now for some. With the dawn, I will return. Then you may resume your journey. Help will come from Tehran for the plane in time.
The sands were warm, though the sun had long since set. They stretched out on the desert floor, watching the pilot's tall figure disappear in the twilight. The stars came out. A breeze brought coolness. It brought also the lonely call of a distant jackal answered by its mate. Then stillness enveloped them like the night. And then they saw them, tribesmen appearing out of the night, galloping at full speed toward the little camp, their long robes flying in the wind, their horses' manes and tails flying.
Is this the pilot so soon?
I do not know. Seems impossible. Wait here a moment. Well, young man, are you ready for adventure?
What did he say?
He told me that he is the chief of a camp beyond that long cliff, and his wife is soon to have her first child. There is no one to help her, and she is having a hard time. They saw our plane come out of the sky and thought it was an answer to their prayer. I see you're relieved.
Yes, sir.
He speaks a language as old as time. It is that of need. Do you want to come?
Oh, yes, sir.
If the child is born before morning, and if it is a boy, there will be a great feast.
What if it's a girl?
Oh, that he did not say. To them, it must always be a boy, especially if it is the first.
The chief put his arms around John and swung him up into the saddle with him. The horses skimmed the sand as if they had wings, and the plane was a grotesque silhouette left behind as one adventure merged into another. Ahead was the camp, a small fire glowing out of the night. Beyond it were horses and a small flock of goats. Two tents flapped their loose sides in the wind, and men sat about the fire chanting a mournful dirge. A mournful chant? No. It was the chant of welcome uttered at the time of birth. It is such a kindly thing to assure a child as it comes into the world that the earth is a pleasant place, that its grass will grow for him, that a horse is awaiting him.
John, you stay here. I must help the woman.
Yes, sir.
Aga, will you be so kind as to have one of your men bring water for me to wash?
Is it yours?
And there must be water boiled in the pot.
Water? But water is not good for a newborn babe. It must be rubbed with grease while a piece of sugar crystal is placed in its mouth to silence its crying.
Please, if I am to help, the copper basin must be filled with water and put on the fire.
Doctor, doctor.
Yes, nurse.
We will need milk for the baby. The flock of goats over there could give us what we need.
See if you can make the men understand.
They say the goats are for meat, not for milk.
No milk in the camp?
No.
Please, doctor, she's in great pain.
Where is John?
The last I saw of him, he had found a boy his age, and they were saddling horses.
The city of Shiraz is only 8 miles away. There is a health center there, recently established with help from the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF. UNICEF has also supplied the center with milk. Could John and the desert boy, Jahan, go there to the office and bring back some milk? The mother is very sick. She might not be able to nurse.
Yes, but surely one of those men...
It is no use asking them to go. They are waiting for the feast to celebrate the birth.
And the chief?
The young mother needs her husband beside her.
But John is so young, doctor.
Not too young to help us. Tell him, nurse.
Sometime between midnight and the hour of dawn, John and the desert boy rode into the city of Shiraz and clattered over the paved streets to the UNICEF-aided center. They woke the watchman, and the young boy gave him the message. He called the resident representative who listened to John's story, and the milk was brought. Two large bags of powdered milk were strapped to the saddles. They rode briskly out of the city, past tiled doorways, past a mosque, past fountains whose twinkling waters added coolness to the air. The streets were empty. No life was abroad. Daylight was just beginning to break. And soon they reached the camp where the doctor was waiting.
You have done well for a small boy, John. The baby has come. A fine, healthy, squalling little girl.
And do they mind, sir?
Strangely enough, no. They have decided she has been born for some great work in the world because her birth has received such attention.
What are they going to call her?
It is a queer name. It means that which comes from the sky.
They are on their way now, over the night stillness of the desert. A small American boy, an Iranian doctor, a Swiss nurse. But John will never forget his night in the tribesman's camp. He holds a remembrance of it in his hand. A small silver button ripped from the coat of his young friend, Jehan, the horseman who accompanied him on his journey. It is a gift of thanks for helping. And when John received it, he could only say,
Chasham.
It was the only Persian word he knew, and it means, may my eyes be put out if I fail. You and I would say thank you instead. But all languages are broken down by the common denominator of need and friendship. And John went on to other adventures. A Nicaraguan boy saved him from the perils of the jungle. He played elephant with Filipino children. He lost his heart to a baby girl in the Bolivian mountains, his shirt to a sick boy in Thailand, his shoes to an Arab refugee. He went to see what UNICEF was giving the children of the world. He never dreamed UNICEF had the best gift of all for him, the gift of understanding others.
Powdered milk for a newborn child in Iran. Vaccination supplies to fight tuberculosis among children in India. DDT for combating malaria in Burma. Equipment for a mother and child welfare clinic in Pakistan. All a day's work for UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, the world's largest international effort to improve the health and welfare of children and the mothers who bear them. The UN story you have heard is an example of the work of the United Nations and its agencies, which goes on day after day in many countries all over the world. Today's story, Adventure in Iran, was adapted from the book Rainbow Round the World by Elizabeth Yates, published by Bob's Merrill Company. It is a copyright work. The UN story was produced and transcribed by the international staff of United Nations Radio.